Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rant Show on AM 770 KTTH, streaming on the KTTH smartphone app. The word police, they are coming for you at Pierce Transit and probably soon other government agencies. That is what's trending.
What's trending? A Jason Rant exclusive.
In an effort to foster what we're told is support and belonging amongst the staff, Pierce Transit leadership is putting out an expectation to all of its employees. You will use the pronouns preferred by your coworkers, including Z, Zer, Zers, and other noises. And if you don't, you might be subject to discipline. Amy Cleveland is the executive director of administration over at Pierce Transit, and she put out a memo titled Pronoun Use in the Workplace. Now, if you are an employee and you get that in your email inbox, I imagine the first thing you do is try to hold back the vomit that is about to spew from your hole in your mouth or your face. Because I have to assume you get as sick as I do when you see these things. That feeling in your stomach, the pit of your stomach of like, oh no, we're now going to become one of those kind of companies. Now, in fairness, if you work for a government agency, my guess is you probably already have had those feelings. Maybe you've had some time to sort of cope with them. But when you get a pronoun use in the workplace memo, ugh, it reads that the agency, quote, recognizes the importance of using an individual's preferred pronouns at work as a form of respect and courtesy. Now, that might be the case. I generally think that it is appropriate to, just out of courtesy, to use a preferred pronoun with some exceptions. The words that don't exist or the words that grammatically don't make any sense. I will do he, I will do her. If you are truly transgender and you're a transgender female, I will say her. If you're transgender male, I will say he. If you're pretending not to have a gender, no, I'm out. I'm going to use the pronoun that corresponds with your birth gender. And yes, we can tell. Well, it was just assigned at birth. No, I'm assigning it to you at, how old are you? 37? I assign it to you at 37 as a coworker. The memo has these expectations. And in addition to using the person's name or requested pronoun, it says if you mistakenly use the incorrect pronoun, you should, quote, apologize and use the correct pronouns going forward. If a staffer is, I don't know, maybe bewildered by a coworker who says, I don't have a gender, or please call me Z, Zer, use those pronouns, Z, Zim, Zer. You should probably keep that to yourself. If you're like, I don't get it, just don't say anything. Because according to this memo, Pierce Transit said, quote, it's not appropriate to question people on why they use certain pronouns or what those pronouns mean. I find that to be a curious position for them. It's not appropriate to question people on why they use certain pronouns. But apparently it is appropriate to question you when you choose not to use certain pronouns. Don't you find that a little bit curious? So you choose not to say Z, Zer, Zim, whatever. They will question you and why you're choosing not to do that. And they, of course, will judge you as a bad person, as a bad coworker, for choosing not to use those pronouns. But you're not supposed to say anything or pass any judgment on someone who says, my personal pronoun is, ugh! Because that's really difficult to remember.
Wait, what was it?
Ugh.
When, which one is that?
It's, ugh.
Oh, wait. Sorry, I wasn't allowed to ask that, right?
Yeah, you can't keep, hey, you bigot.
Sorry.
Keep it to yourself.
Sorry.
We're just talking about noises that come out of people's mouths, and we're pretending that these are pronouns. The memo sent to staff said, hey, if you have any questions about personal pronouns and why we're even discussing this, you can go to this link. And they send you to Human Rights Campaign, not their campaign page on pronouns, if they even have one. It's to their front page, which is just filled with left-wing political positions. That's what it sends you to. it seems pretty clear what it is they're doing. And they end their memo by saying Pierce Transit expects all employees to be respectful and courteous to others. An employee who intentionally refuses to use another person's preferred pronouns may be subject to potential discipline. Again, respect should go both ways. Why don't you respect the people who choose not to use made-up pronouns? Why do they not deserve any kind of respect and courtesy? Why is it that only one group of people deserve that kind of respect and courtesy? Because there are some people who choose not to use pronouns out of a deeply held religious belief that they're not going to pretend that there's anything more than a man and a woman. But they're not to be respected. They're not deserving of courtesy because they're on the quote-unquote wrong side of an issue. Now, the pronoun memo is not the only expectation when it comes to forced language over at Pierce Transit. On March 10th, they held an hour-long class called DEI Basics, DEI, Diversity, Equity, Inclusion. Oh, my. It's part of what they're calling a monthly Inclusive Actions Initiative, where they're spending each month working to adapt new ways for its employees to be quote-unquote inclusive. Now, March has been focused on implementing, quote, diversity, equity, and inclusion for shared success. Aww. So on this class in the seminar, they teach employees, they instruct employees on, quote, how to incorporate basic DEI terms into our everyday speech. They're trying to get you to adopt their vocabulary, their woke vocabulary. Because when you control the language, what do you control? Say the argument.
The argument.
Exactly. When you control the language, you control the argument. Because when you're able to just redefine words, it's very easy to win arguments. You just change definitions. And when you change definitions in a very clear attempt to smear the other side, like when you change the definition of racist or white supremacist, you're doing that so that you can smear the other side, so that you can win an argument, because people will instinctively sort of just quiet down, stop pushing back, and just accept. That's at least what they hope. Now, this pronoun memo, I think, comes along with some irony. So last month, the inclusive action lesson that was taught was all about psychological safety, and they define it by Pierce Transit as, quote, a belief that one will not be punished or humiliated for speaking up with ideas, questions, concerns, or mistakes, and that the team is safe for interpersonal risk-taking. That's ironic. That is very ironic. A belief that one will not be punished. Oh, unless you don't buy into the pronoun police. At that point, you know you're going to be punished. Now, an employee reached out to me concerned about what was going on. He asked for anonymity. So I won't tell you his name is Max. Sorry. I won't tell you his name is M. Gross. I'm kidding.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't you. You don't work for Pierce. Initially, I found the memo threatening, and I wondered if they ran it past legal. It's all overwhelming, he told me. I just want to come to work, do my job, and go home to my family without being bombarded with constant LGBTQ propaganda. It seems like harassment. I feel that as a straight white male at this agency, I'm in a much higher risk of allegations being made against me. I know I have to be on guard at all times and practice the utmost situational awareness. Always. It's scary. I have to imagine it is kind of scary. You've got the world changing around you, courtesy of a small group of radical extremists who hold crazy views on gender and all sorts of other issues. They're changing expectations. They're pushing people in different directions. They're quite literally word policing. And you just want to do your job. Presumably a job that you like, that you love, that you might be passionate about, only to be bombarded over and over and over again with this woke agenda all being done under the auspices of diversity, equity, inclusion, which sounds great, But again, they change the meaning of those words. When they say inclusion, they don't want to include you unless you buy into their beliefs. And if you don't, the only way you can be included is if you just adopt all of the beliefs or just sit down, shut up. Don't push back. Equity? How is this being equitable? You're telling one group that they have control over the language, that you have to feed in to their view. And yes, it is a delusion when you say you do not have a gender. Diversity, except for, of course, diversity of thought. One-way thinking. One-way thinking. Now, I reached out to a spokesperson. They said the agency is not insinuating that people must behave or believe certain ways in their personal lives. But at work, if an agency employee asks to be referred to by a specific pronoun, the expectation is that other agency employees will make every effort to do so. This is just one of many workplace standards of behavior related to treating each other politely and with professionalism and respect. Now, you're never supposed to question someone's personal pronoun choice. That's in the memo. I want someone, and there are risks to this, so I hope someone at Pierce Transit really leans into that and does what I just did. My personal pronouns, that should be the personal pronoun. If you can say Z and Zer and Zoo, you can say I feel like you should just lean into that. Do not question that person. And the first person who says, "Are you okay? Did you just choke?" Say, "I'm offended by that. That is my personal pronoun."
How do you spell that for your email signature?
It's not written. You got to do a little recording and embed the MP4 or MP3 in the email signature.
Okay, got it.
But you got to do the guttural.
Yeah, it's
got to
be
there.
Really with the throat.
I find this so off-putting. I find this so offensive to the English language. I find it offensive to just the basic understanding that, yeah, we are all deserving of respect in the workplace. But when you force someone into language, you're not respecting them. It's not respectful to force people to do things against their will. And I don't think that this is reasonable because you're telling people, and God bless them, they want to pretend this isn't political. Yes, it is. This has become political. The left has made it political. You're not born a Zoo or a Z. You're born male or female. You can identify as male and be female or vice versa if you want. But we don't have to pretend that you are that biologically. And no, we don't have to be forced and shouldn't be forced into personal pronouns of your choosing. Again, I do think everyone should do what's best for them and should err on the side of being polite and courteous. But you also get to decide the language you're going to use and what you're going to believe. And that's where I guess I draw the line. Not everyone agrees with it being, quote unquote, courteous or respectful to say Zoo, Zer, Z. And you'll recall we did a story about 3 months ago, maybe 4 months ago, going through a list of all those pronouns. There's stuff on there no one actually uses. Unless they're narcissists. See, I don't think someone's a narcissist if they do the he, her, regardless of their biological gender. I do think you're looking for attention when you say zoo, when you say hair, when you say raw. I think you are a narcissist at that point. The people who pretend to not have a gender. I think that that is narcissism. I think that in a literal sense, meaning I think that they are suffering from narcissistic personality disorder. So in a lot of ways, it's not like I blame them. It's that they're sick. I think you're sick if you want me to believe that you don't think you have a gender and you're not just doing it for attention or to be a part of some kind of bigger sort of, I don't know, cause. Because this is really a cause. It's a gender identity cause. And I think it mocks people who are transgender, who are actually transgender. I do. I think that there are people who are clearly struggling. And they have a very hard life when they identify as trans, just like it used to be true that coming out as gay led to a hard life. Not the case anymore. But I do think that that's the case with legitimately transgender people. you are basically making a mockery of them when you say zoo or zur. You're making a mockery out of them and their struggle when you claim to not even have a gender. I wish more people would call those folks out, but instead we pretend that they're well-intentioned, where I honestly don't think that of most people who do the whole zoozer thing. And we pretend that they're also struggling with some sort of identity. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're struggling with not getting enough attention, and they're doing this to get it. Now, I wrote about this over at KTTH.com. You can check it out there, or just text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770, and I'll send you a link. Text R-A-N-T-Z to 1-800-465-8770. I like people. Gender is not assigned at birth, ever. It's observed. Exactly. That is a perfect way to put it. Thank you. What was that? The 619? What area code is that? But that is perfect. Gender is not assigned at birth. It's observed at birth.
San Diego.
There you go. Thank you, San Diego, for tuning in. Push the button.
What's trending? The homelessness crisis.
Years after a massive encampment in Seattle was allowed to basically become even larger, to fester, to become more and more and more dangerous and unhealthy to live in, Jay Inslee finally stopped by, but he stopped by to use it for political propaganda to push his $4 billion affordable housing proposal that won't help the homeless and that, ironically, isn't affordable. The housing affordability bill or proposal is not affordable, but that didn't stop him from showing up and pretending to be really invested in this issue.
This is the evergreen state, and we should not ever allow it to become the ever homeless state. Ugh. This is a scourge in our state, and we cannot allow it to continue.
I hate that he does that. He tries to do the little flourish all the time. I cannot stand it. And he thinks he's clever. And he's got a little notebook where he's writing all his ideas down, and he's testing them out. He's workshopping them, and he crosses them out. Ooh, this doesn't work. And then he thinks he finds one that works, but it doesn't actually work. It is so insufferable. Ugh. He says solving this issue is going to cost a lot of money.
This is an issue that you can't nickel and dime. Baby steps won't cut it. Frankly, I've heard some people say, well, it's just a chemical problem. If they just got off their addiction, we wouldn't have any homelessness. But you got to have housing.
Oh, my God. This is someone who should be nowhere near a plan to tackle homelessness. First of all, I love the idea that he's suddenly talking with this level of emotion and urgency. You can't baby step this. Where have you been? You're in your third term. Where have you been this entire time? This crisis didn't start a month ago when you started to push your $4 billion plan that I still deeply suspect lines the pockets of some donors of yours who work in development. I'm not convinced that that doesn't exist yet. Where were you this entire time? Baby steps? What were you doing? You're part of the reason why it's gotten so bad across the state. Not solely. I don't put a lot of this on any governor. Unless they actively pursue proposals that make things work. And in fairness to Jay Inslee, he's been completely absent from this. So it's hard for us to just give blame from a policy perspective to Governor Jay Inslee. This is due to Democrat policy, mostly done on the local level, and now increasingly being done at the state level. He wants you to think that you cannot treat someone who is addicted to fentanyl, meth, whatever it is, unless they have a home. He wants you to think that they became homeless and then started to turn to a life of drugs. They're homeless because they're addicts. They're not addicts because they're homeless. He is pursuing that housing first model. We've talked about it in the past. It does not work. The data all says it does not work. But Inslee has hope.
From these terrible conditions, I see hope too. Because I meet the people whose lives get totally turned around if you give them a little roof over their head, if they don't have water dripping down their necks, if somebody isn't stealing their stuff.
He couldn't name a single person who's homeless that he met. Not a single person. He doesn't do a single follow-up on anyone he talks to. He shows up for a photo op, and then he leaves. He is wholly disconnected from this issue, and he has been the entire time. But he put out one of those videos that you see on Instagram, or I think sometimes on TikTok, where you're talking, and it's produced up with some music behind it, and it's got the text coming up. Not like a traditional closed caption, but the almost animated, some are large, some are tiny.
It's like the AOC videos.
Yeah, it's very...
She does a bunch of those.
Exactly. It's very stylized.
I'm here at First in Michigan in Seattle, the site of a homeless camp that we are now cleaning up. We've cleaned up many of these homeless encampments.
No, you haven't. You liar. No, you haven't. That deserves to be called out as a lie. You are lying. You have not cleared out many homeless encampments. You've cleared out some. Some. At a record high cost. But don't give me, oh, I've cleared so many. I've cleaned them up so much.
Moved hundreds of people into housing.
A million.
And this is just not excusable to allow this to stay Washington. People live in these conditions. We've got to fight them. Housing.
This encampment has been there for at least 3 years. Okay? This encampment that he is visiting, that was cleared yesterday, has been there for at least 3 years. We can't have this in Washington State. Why'd you allow it then? Why'd you allow it? Why is this your first visit? Because you're selling some policy proposal. That's why. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show.
Follow the KTTH mobile app.
Welcome back to The Jason Rant Show. I will be on Fox News at night with Trace Gallagher later this evening, 9:25 or so. If you're not able to watch, it's all good. You can check it out at facebook.com/Jason Rants Show. It's where we post all of our videos. Also, youtube.com/Jason Rants. Some drama today. In Manhattan with the DA, Alvin Bragg, he decided to cancel a grand jury session where the last witness was supposed to speak, was supposed to testify. And then we were expecting an announcement of an indictment. Again, possibly it was supposed to come today through early next week. Not the arrest, but just the announcement of the indictment. Because we're dealing with a former president. What that ends up meaning is that they have to coordinate with Secret Service. So once the indictment is set up, that's when they're able to coordinate fully with Secret Service. Now, two sources spoke with Fox News Digital today. And the reason for the grand jury being canceled is rather interesting. They call it major dissension within the DA's office. One of the sources said the DA is having trouble convincing the grand jury on potential charges due to the weakness of the case. Now, it's generally speaking, it's easy to get a grand jury to go and move forward and indict. The rules of grand juries are not the same as the rules in a traditional courtroom. You don't have to turn over, for example, exculpatory evidence to the grand jury. You present the case you want to present. But in this case, kind of bit Alvin Bragg in the backside, because that lawyer who testified 2 days ago, he basically said, look, I turned over a lot of emails showing that Michael Cohen, who Alvin Bragg is leaning on as a witness to show that Trump is guilty in the hush money scandal to Stormy Daniels. Michael Cohen himself spent time in prison because he was the one responsible. And now he's got a lot of anger inside him. He's turned on the president. But this lawyer came forward and said, no, I worked and represented him, he's a liar. And I have hundreds of documents of proof that I turned over to Alvin Bragg. You only saw 6 emails. There are a lot more. Now, I don't know, obviously, if that was specifically the reason why there is any major dissension, if that is in fact true. Because one source, it could be someone who's lying to change the narrative a little bit. Don't know. But that would make sense. Certainly the idea that this is a weak case makes sense because, well, guess what? It's a very weak case. You had two attempts at the federal level to investigate a misdemeanor charge against Donald Trump tied to the Stormy Daniels payments. Two. Both of them were dropped. They were dropped because there's no evidence. Or at the least, it would be very, very, very difficult to prove. Only to then go to New York where Alvin Bragg, who campaigned on a message of, I'm going after Donald Trump, to not just take that misdemeanor and pretend that it's an easy case, but elevate it to a felony. So, of course, it is a weak case. And what Fox is reporting is that, according to their sources, they say Trump hasn't been formally notified about whether Bragg actually plans to bring charges against him, and that there remains a real chance that Bragg does not choose to indict Donald Trump. Now, what does that mean as far as what we heard over the weekend from Donald Trump? Was he lying in order to put some added pressure on Alvin Bragg? Because he had to have known that this kind of pressure would not be positive for the DA? I know that there are a lot of Democrats who are cheering this on. But there are also a lot of Democrats who are now speaking a lot more openly about it, saying, okay, while I don't like the guy, you're doing significant damage to this office, but really just the system itself. This is clearly abuse, and everyone knows it. Anyone who tells you that Trump is clearly guilty and should spend time in jail or whatever, here's how you can prove them to be a fool very easily. Ask what the indictment is for. What would the charges be? Ask them that. That's all you have to do. They're not going to be able to answer you. They'll try to get around it. It was like, oh, well, it's the Stormy Daniels thing. Okay, fine. What was illegal about it? They don't even know the details of the story. Hush money. Giving someone a payment to not say anything is not illegal. That's not even what this case is about from the legal side of things. These transactions, and Trump called it a private transaction, which it was. These transactions happen all the time. You have settlements all the time that are handled privately so that you're not going public with whatever the information is that you don't want out there. And it's not always controversial in nature. It's not always embarrassing even in nature. There are sometimes just perfectly legitimate business reasons. For example, you wouldn't want some information to get out. This happens all the time, and it's not illegal. Now, I know that the ladies of The View, they were upset. They were upset with Trump. Trump got their hopes up, only to be dashed.
You kind of have to weigh it with all the other stuff he said. And you figure, well, you know, you said you won the election, you didn't win.
Good point.
You said they're coming to arrest you.
I said that to Joy, but why would you start believing him now?
I mean, it's kind of crazy.
He manipulated everybody. We all rose to the occasion. The papers, everybody just went there.
So many people were excited.
Liar.
Yeah.
God, Sonny Hostin is getting more insufferable every time I hear a clip. Every single time. I used to go with, so tough, but it was Whoopi and then Joy, and then sometimes Joy then Whoopi. And then when Anna Navarro is on, I can't stand her either. Then the one whose name I always forget, who has no personality, she's also weirdly annoying.
Who's your favorite?
Meghan McCain. Huh. She's not on the show anymore. She was my favorite. She actually pushed back.
You nailed the fake laugh. I wasn't looking at you, and I thought it was one of them, but it was you.
See, the key is to sound like a seal. That's how you make
it
work.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
You're getting a sense how the media is going to frame this. Look, folks in the media, left-wing media, CNN, MSNBC, they know that the case is weak. They'll pretend otherwise, of course, on air, but they know that it's weak. Here was a hint as to how the media will cover this. Should he be indicted? This is MJ Lee. She's the correspondent for the White House for CNN.
President Biden believes that it is appropriate for a person who is indicted to run for office.
That was a question to Karine Jean-Pierre, who gives a stupid answer. But that's the framing. That's going to be the framing of the story. It doesn't matter if he's guilty. It's just that he was charged. And in a lot of ways, maybe that's what Alvin Bragg is counting on. He wants to just stop Donald Trump. If he loses the case, and he will if it goes to trial, if it doesn't even just get tossed, he will 100% lose. But he'll say, look, I did my best. Sometimes they're just two powerful people, and Donald Trump is one of them. But you know what? I tried my hardest. Please give me money for my reelection campaign. While that failure occurs slowly, because all of these cases take time, the media will continuously be saying, is it appropriate to have someone who's been indicted run for any office? They'll say that over and over and over again. The implication being the person is guilty. That's why they've been charged. And you should not trust them. You should not vote for them. That is what's going to happen. I guarantee you. And I say that because if I was acting in a bad faith way, that's the argument I would use. I would use that argument. It's a great one. Because a lot of people think that charges have been leveled against you. Well, then he's guilty. People don't realize what a grand jury is and how it works. They think it's harder. I think the average person thinks it's harder for someone to get indicted via that route than just be found guilty in front of a judge. And that power of persuasion, pushing that implication, I think it's going to move a lot of people. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. Have you seen the commercials on Help, I Can't Get Up, the little life alert things?
The one that's on right now?
Yeah. So they've evolved considerably since I was a kid and I saw them. This commercial had a woman on the floor screaming for help overnight, and it fast-forwarded. You know how in like movies they fast-forward, the moon comes up and then goes down? That's what they just did on the life alert. Oh my God. 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I do appreciate it. Everything okay in there?
Great.
You short?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw you pushing buttons, but nothing happening.
The music didn't play like it normally does.
You know what else the music's not doing? Fading out. There we go.
But you're busy talking to me.
Oh, we can't multitask. It's so hard. Something just awful happened this morning. It's another one of those stories where you just don't want to hear about. And yet I think it's important to talk about because we hear people bashing cops all the time without understanding that the hard work that they do could result in them not coming home at the end of a shift. In this case, it happened in Everett. Everett police got a report of a robbery. So they show up. They found the suspect near a Fred Meyer. And as the officer approached in his patrol car, the suspect allegedly fired multiple shots at his cruiser and ended up shooting the officer in the head, according to law enforcement officials. Now, another officer ended up taking that cop to Providence Regional Medical Center. They just drove in a patrol car. The good news is the officer was in stable condition. That was an announcement that happened early on because this happened around, I think, like 3:10, 3:15 a.m. And so far, again, good news, nothing has changed. Officer is in stable condition. Don't know the details of the shot to the head, like the specifics. I'm assuming it's much more than a graze if you're at this point. Now, the shooter, police say, ran across the street. That's when another Everett police officer confronted this guy and ended up shooting him. He died at the scene. There was a bystander who spoke with Cairo 7 TV. This was all happening sort of in the moment. And I thought what he had to say, in a rare instance of man on the street audio, I thought it was a very astute observation, or really in tune with how many people should think about and reflect after incidents like this. You're going to hear the reporter kind of unintentionally interrupt, but you'll hear what he says.
It's sad. It's very sad. My father wanted to be an officer, and it's times like this I'm kind of glad he wasn't, because
so clearly people,
their job's hard enough as it is, and now they have to worry about, you know, possibly putting on bulletproof helmets. It's very sad.
That, I think, is an important message to hear. This is a dangerous job. And what do we hear from lawmakers and activists nonstop? Cops are evil. Cops are racist. They don't have training. They don't know what it is they're doing. We hear that all the time, nonstop. We sometimes hear it from directors of agencies that investigate cops. That is the message that we get knocked over day and night in news. Imagine what it's like as an officer who hears that message, who maybe as they're putting their uniform on in the morning, they've got the TV on in the background, and there's some story in which the reporter cuts to some activist who talks about systemic racism in police departments. Imagine what that must feel like. Imagine after coming home, after a long shift, you just worked the third shift. You're coming home. You just dealt with some really dangerous, despicable people. Only to then hear from activists or lawmakers that you're the disgusting, despicable person. That you're the criminal who goes around shooting black people for sport. That's what they'll have you believe. These are officers who put their lives on the line for all of us. They're the ones who run towards the danger while we run away. We call them for help. And they come. And they don't ask questions as to who you are before they're willing to help. They will fight for that lunatic activist the same way they would fight for their own family. Well, I'll give the family a little bit more. But they are not sitting any of the dangerous stuff out. We make their jobs harder, and they still do it. And so, again, I hope people are thinking about this officer. I hope they're thinking about the King County detective who was shot yesterday, who is also in stable condition. On the King County deputy who was shot while serving an eviction, there was a statement that went out from the Democrat Socialists, the Seattle chapter, and they took issue with the person who was shot and killed, the person who shot at the cop trying to kill that person. We learned a little bit more about this. His name is Nathan Stolzig. Oh, no, I shouldn't say that because that's dead naming. Apparently, Nathan is Eustace and is transgender. Pronoun is she or they. And apparently a member of the DSA, Democrat Socialists of America. Andy Ngo, our friend from Portland, was looking at the social media information from Eustace. And no one knew this early on. I was told early on that it might have been a transgender woman, but we obviously didn't know. We were told first it was a male, 29-year-old male. Seattle DSA put out a statement. And rather than focus on the tragedy rather than offer any well wishes to the detective who was shot. You hear them complaining about misgendering. You see. Seattle DSA is urging the media and law enforcement to stop misgendering UC, who identified as trans, and to stop calling her by her dead name. Talk about messed up priorities. And I know the Democrat Socialists of America is a joke of a group, and they're basically a cult. That's how they act. Just like a cult with membership dues. But to put this out again, I hope people realize the types of people they are. You could have compassion for UC because they knew her, while also having compassion for the person she shot. But, you know, ACAB, am I right? 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. There is a situation unfolding at Alderwood Middle School. We're getting more information. It happened earlier today. A student assaulted a teacher in a pretty vicious way. We'll bring you the exclusive details when we come back.